From the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And I have to tell you something, folks. I'm hooked on Jesus stories. I don't know about you, but I'm hooked on Jesus stories. And I like to just read through the Gospels and watch Jesus and listen to Jesus as he walks through the country and confronts the dead and the living and the sick and the afflicted. The demons and the angels, all the things that he confronted. And when Jesus was here on earth, by the way, he confronted life as you confront life. Now, I don't know what today holds. Sometimes we say, I don't know what tomorrow holds. That's true, but I don't know what today holds. I don't know what the afternoon holds. None of us do. And as we look at that, we think, you know, we're suddenly confronted with an accident or with a fall, and it doesn't take much to change everything in your life. I mean, just a small thing can cause you to have to rearrange everything in your life and everything change in the way you're thinking, the way what you're doing or how you're living. And oh, if we can just walk with Jesus. And Jesus had to confront that, by the way, as he lived here on the earth. And I wish I could do all that he did, but I don't think I could handle that kind of power. You know, I hear people talking about having the power and, you know, to heal every single disease. Could I handle that? I know he could. He's the Son of God. But I don't know if I could handle all that. I don't know if... The Apostle Paul had a remarkable, remarkable ministry. People were healed, demons were cast out, whole countries were won to Christ, citywide meetings, and the dead were raised in his services and all those things. And yet he had an affliction of his own that he couldn't get rid of. He prayed three times earnestly to the Lord to set him free of this thorn in his flesh, whatever it was that tormented him. And three times the Lord said no. You say the Lord answered his prayer. Yes, the Lord answered his prayers. And three times he prayed and three times the Lord said no. And you know why the Lord said no? Because if I do everything you ask me to do, Paul, your head will get so big that you won't be able to get in the house. You say, now the Bible don't say that. No, but it does say he would be exalted above measure. And I have to tell you, folks, that would have been a disaster. There's nothing worse than a good preacher going bad. And we didn't want that to happen to the Apostle Paul. Well, the Lord Jesus is in the stride of his ministry. All these wonderful, glorious things are happening. And this story happened right in the middle of it. So let's read it. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Yes. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And his fame went out abroad unto all that land. Now there are two stories here that are all mixed up together. There are two things that are happening that are mixed up together. And all of the details, by the way, of those stories are not in what you just read from Matthew. But if you'll go read the same story in Mark and in Luke, then you'll get all the wonderful details of the story. And sometimes I think we fail to do that in reading the Bible. We fail to look at the whole thing. You know, if I go down the road and there's some kind of a wreck or something goes on and I come and tell you about it, then later on somebody else that was at the wreck comes and tells you about it. And it's not exactly like I said. It's not wrong. It's just different. And you say, why would that be? Because we're two different people. And God used the personality of Matthew, who, by the way, was a tax collector, a publican, and of Luke, who was a doctor, who was getting his information secondhand because he wasn't there. Luke wasn't there when any of this happened. He got that from maybe Mary, the mother of Christ, or maybe from Peter himself. And then there's Mark, and there's every chance that Mark got it from Peter because Mark was very young, but he was there. Now, all these things are going on, and if you read all of them, you find out what's happening. Jesus is preaching. People are being saved. People are being healed. The dead are being raised. All kinds of things are happening. Now, folks, sometimes we look at this and we say, well, all the people were against him. Nobody believed. Well, there were a lot of people against him, and there were a lot of people who didn't believe. But you read this carefully, my friend, there are a lot of people who did believe. There were hundreds who believed, thousands who believed in the crowds that came to hear him. And even if people did not receive him as we think they ought to have received him, let me tell you, there were people that had absolute faith in him. And two of those people are in this story today. The woman with the issue of blood believes what she hears Jesus say. And the man who has a little girl who is sick believes what Jesus has to say. Now what happens is that Jesus is busy preaching and getting the word of God out. And while he's in the midst of his preaching comes a ruler of the synagogue. One of the important religious people in the community has come, and he says, my little girl is sick. She's sick enough to die, and I want you to pray for her to heal her. That's a desperate cry from a father coming out there. He's reaching out the best he can and all he can. And the only hope that he can see, his daughter is so bad. The only hope that he can see is this man, Jesus, who has the power of God. If he can but touch her and come to his house and lay his hand on her, she'll be healed. Let me tell you something, folks. Most of the healings and deliverances that God has done have not necessarily been in a religious meeting, in a church or a tent or whatever, or one of these campaigns that goes on through the country healing people. It hasn't been there. Most of the healing and things that's been done have actually been done when Jesus was here in somebody's house or in the street or someplace else where people meet. And let me tell you something, folks. Aren't you glad that God can move in your home? Aren't you glad that if you open the doors of your house and you see what it did for Peter when they were up at Capernaum and they were having meeting, Jesus went home with Peter for dinner. And that's a grand old custom they had through the years, as people taking somebody home with them and fellowshipping on the Lord's day. And Peter took the Lord home with him. That's exactly where the Lord wanted to be, was going home to his house. And when he got there, you know the story, they found out Peter's mother-in-law was sick, really sick, down in the bed sick, and yet Jesus prayed for her, touched her, and she got up out of the bed and made dinner for him and ministered to him. Not only that, but the crowd was so great you couldn't get him in the house. Somebody tore Peter's roof off the top of his house and let a paralyzed man down by ropes through the ceiling, and that man was healed and went forth praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. I'll tell you what, we need a roof-raising move of the Holy Ghost in most homes in America today, and pray that God would move and God would do that. Now, while all of this is going on, this man comes and says, now if you'll notice, this story says, my daughter is dead already. That wasn't the first request. When he first came, his daughter was sick. His little girl was down sick, and he went to get Jesus to come to his house and lay his hands on her and pray for her. And so when he comes, Jesus said, yes, I'll go with you. I'll go do it. And the man is so grateful. But while he's going and while he's on his way, people come from his house and say, trouble not the master, for the child is dead already. Now, they say that, don't trouble Jesus, don't bother him with it, because they say that like Jesus is going to be overwhelmed. Let me tell you something. No circumstance in your life, no matter how overwhelming it is to you, is going to overwhelm the Lord. And let me tell you something else. There's no circumstances in your life that's actually going to take God by surprise. Sometimes I look at all the things going on around me, and there's a lot of sad and hard things that I see. But I have to tell you, folks, that God is not ignorant of that. He saw that. He saw it coming. Do you think that COVID-19 came walking down the road and surprised the Lord one day? That he didn't see it coming to America? I don't think so. I think maybe my friend that Jesus knows all about everything that goes on and can see all about everything that goes on. Well, at any rate, while Jesus is on his way to go to this man's house, they come and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Don't bother him because she's already dead. Now, I don't know how far away they were from this man's house, but they were so far enough away that they pronounced her dead, dressed her body, laid it out in the as the custom was in that day in a cool room, and the people started their wailing. The minstrels come with their flutes and begin to play music, and they were probably playing some real sad, draggy songs and some heartache songs, and everybody was gathered in, and the mother, no doubt, was wailing, and other members of the family were crying. All of this had time to transpire before Jesus ever had a chance to get there. She had died, she had been washed and laid out, and the grieving process, funeral process, had begun to happen, and probably somebody had gone out to see about the cemetery plot and all that kind of thing, and it was going on. Now, this is happening after the man, Jairus, has come and talked to Jesus about healing his daughter. And I'm sure that this man is most anxious for Jesus to get on with it. Do you ever think you wanted to say, hurry up, Lord? How many of us ever wanted to say, hurry up, Lord? Sometimes we want to say that, don't we? Sometimes we have reason to say that. And you say, well, you shouldn't question God. Well, there's questions that aren't wrong. How could it be that you have a little girl who's dying and the only hope and help that can be is this Galilean preacher that's coming down the road and he's taking his time? How can that be? I mean, Mary and Martha had a problem with that, didn't they? Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. This wouldn't have happened. Lord, he loved you, and they make a point of telling Jesus time and again, Lord, this is the one you love. This is the one who loved you. He's your special friend. And you weren't here. They don't say that, but it's implied right to Jesus, and they sort of accuse Jesus. You know, we called you days ago. We called you some time ago. Well, why didn't you come? Why didn't you heal him then? Jesus explains to him later, this is for the glory of God. But let me tell you about this fella here. Jairus is going with Jesus, and they're on his way to his house, and then the word comes that she's already dead. And he's got to say, if he'd have just come on when I first asked him, and you say, why didn't he come on when you first asked him? Why didn't he come out there when he first asked him? I'll tell you why. Because while he was going and moving through the crowd, somewhere, unbeknownst to anybody else, there was a little frail hand, no doubt anemic and very pale, but it reached through the crowd and by the people and by other people. And just as Jesus went by with that big prayer shawl over his head and its tassels hanging down, this little hand reached out through the crowd and by everybody else, and it touched. Didn't grab him, didn't pull him down, but it touched the hem of his garment. And when it touched the hem of his garment, suddenly something happened. You say, well, what happened? Well, Jesus, did he holler hallelujah? No. Did he jump up and down and squall and carry on? No. Been all right if he had, but he didn't. Did she? No. But when she reached through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment, immediately, she knew immediately that she was healed. She felt immediately the power of God go through her and heal her. Now, not only did she feel it, but Jesus felt it. When she touched him, let me tell you something, my friend. If you reach out and touch Jesus, he'll feel it. He'll feel you reaching out to touch him. And she reached through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was healed. Immediately. Wow. Now, you got to remember, all the time that this is happening, all the time that Jesus is standing there saying, somebody touch me. And his disciples are laughing at him, Peter and James and John, and they're saying, are you kidding? There's people all around you. There is hundreds of people crowding in on you and around you, and you ask, who touched me? Anybody could touch me. It's kind of like asking the old cow which briar in the field scratched her as she went by. How does she know there's so many briars to scratch her that anyone could have? And how is he going to know? They don't know Jesus like I know Jesus, do they? They don't know Jesus like the Jesus you know from the Bible. They haven't had enough experience. And how's he supposed to know who touches him in all that crowd and in all those people and in all the things going on? How on earth is he supposed to know who in the world touched him? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, he felt the virtue of the Holy Ghost move out of him. But I'm going to tell you something else. Nobody else saw it, but he saw it when she reached her hand out to start with. He saw it when she crept up through the crowd. And you say, why would she be so secretive? Why didn't she just run up and say, Jesus, I've got an issue of blood. She wouldn't have said that for anything in that day and time. Think about it, ladies. This is first century. This woman has been having a menstrual cycle for 12 years. This woman has been hemorrhaging and bleeding for 12 years. So why didn't she go to the doctor? She had been to every doctor that she could think to go. Now, Matthew and Mark, particularly Mark, are a little bit caustic about that. But Luke isn't, but he's a physician. So he maybe he covers up for the medical profession here. I don't know. But when we read the story and we catch the whole glimpse of it, it said she had suffered many things of many physicians and was none the better. She had been to every doctor she knew to go to. She had been and tried every cure she knew needed to try. But you know what? She was no better. She suffered it all. And listen, I challenge you. Find you a history book of the New Testament. Go back in that day and time and see what kind of cures they put on a poor woman like this. They really were witchcraft, folks. They weren't real medical science. And they did things to them that was unspeakable. Here's the deal. Do you realize this woman hadn't been to church in over 12 years? And you say, why is that? She's unclean. She is a woman having a hemorrhage, having a menstrual cycle, and she cannot go in public. If you touch her, you become unclean. If she touches you, you become unclean. If she goes out in public and sits down on a public seat and you sit down on the same seat after her, you have become unclean. You cannot go to the synagogue. You cannot go to the temple. You cannot go among people. This means that she has been ostracized. Her husband must have been a good man. Her family must have been a tolerant family. She's gone through all this, spent all this money, and she's as bad off as she ever was. She's having a horrible time. It's a horrible life she's lived for over 12 years, spent everything she had, suffered all the God-forsaken remedies that they had, and she's no better. And she just knows. She just knows in her heart that if I can touch him, if I can touch him, she don't dare come out with herself and let herself be made known. If she does, the scribes and the Pharisees are immediately going to pull their robes around her, going to draw away from her. She technically could be stoned for this. Technically, she could be infecting the whole community. She's in a terrible shape. So privately, quietly, if I can reach through there around these people and touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Nobody knows but the Lord. But she reaches through there, touches his garment, and from heaven through him comes the power of the Holy Spirit and saves her from this awful fate that she's had and changes her. And she's slipping away through the crowd. And Jesus is saying, "Who touched me?" And yet he looks at her. He knows exactly who touched him. He knows exactly who reached out. And he calls her a wonderful name. You know what he calls her? Daughter. She has not been able to be out with a family for over 12 years. She has not been able to be part of anybody, anything for over 12 years. But now this woman is face to face with Jesus, and he takes her into his family. He makes it a family relationship. And to her he says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." Yeah. And my friend, that woman is rejoicing, praising God. Everybody can see. She said, "I said, if I can touch him, I know I'll be whole. And I felt the healing go through me and touch me, and the virtue of God come." Isn't that a wonderful story? That's just a great story. I just can't think how wonderful life must have changed for her, and how wonderful it must have been, and how glorious it was, and people rejoiced in the Lord. Well, that is, unless your little girl is laying at home dying, sick, and you've asked this preacher to come and pray for her, and he's spending all his time with a woman that's having a period, for goodness sakes. She's spending all his time talking to this woman. My little girl is at home dying. Don't you understand, Jesus? Don't you understand? My little girl is at home and she's dying. And I don't know what I'm going to do, and you're the only hope we have. And you said you were coming, but you're here talking to this woman, and you're here talking to these people. What am I supposed to do? Well, he doesn't have long to think about it, because pretty soon comes his servants and people from his house, and they're saying, "Don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't trouble the master." Let me tell you something, my friend. You're not going to trouble the Lord by coming to him. You're not going to weigh him down by coming to him. You're not going to get him in a bad fix, because Jesus, now I might got frustrated at this. See, if that had been me, I'd been trying to balance one thing against the other, and I'd be trying to explain to him what was happening, and I'm sorry, and I'd been trying to explain to her what was going on, and I'd been trying to explain to the people all that was going on, my friend. I could have got real frustrated, but Jesus doesn't get frustrated about it. You're not going to burden Jesus down. The old song we sing, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." Oh, Sister Lila used to like to sing that song, Sister Lila Stevens. "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." And my friend, you can do that. You can do that, and it won't burden him. If everybody in here, this kind of reminds me, the Methodist preacher over First Methodist in Parrishburg, oh Lord, 50-some years ago, Jim Hankins was building that new church out in Parrishburg, and I was with him about all the time he's building it, trying to learn anything I could learn. And he said, "I don't see how on earth God Almighty understands you people. And I said, what are you talking about, Jim? He said, how is it you all get over there and get down on your knees and all of you together out loud and at one time are hollering and yelling and talking to the Lord? And how do you expect God ever to hear you? Well, let me tell you something, folks. It didn't strain God anything for a few holiness people to get back in a holler here and go up to an altar and pray to the Lord. The Lord wasn't strained about trying to understand us. Let me tell you another good one. The Lord wasn't strained because all the Christians in Europe were praying in 10 different languages. All the Christians in Asia were praying in dozens of languages. All the people in the islands were praying. People that whose identity had never been discovered at the time Jesus was here were praying. And let me tell you something, Jesus and our Father in heaven, my friend, is not straddled by all of that. He's not frustrating. I might wring my hands and say, how in the world do you expect me to pray for this kid over at the house and pray for this woman having an issue of blood? How in the world can I get all this done? How am I going to get it done? And I'm going to get frustrated and I'm wringing my hands and all. That's not Jesus. Don't worry about troubling the Master, my friend. He can hear every prayer in the world at the same time. When I got up this morning and made morning prayers, my friend, and called on the Lord, I did. You remember our old telephone system? It could be busy, couldn't it? That's why we used to come in church and sing, Central's never busy, it's always on the line, you can hear from heaven anytime. My friend, think about it. We used to have to, when I went to Pembroke, I had to learn to use a telephone all over again. Because we had a dial system over here. Pembroke had an old-fashioned magneto system. And we picked up the receiver and put it to our ear, took a crank and cranked it. And the lady up in the central office said, Pembroke. And we told her what to do and who we wanted to talk to. And she punched a wire into a hole and connected us with them. That was pretty good. Had one of those out of Staffordsville phone system like that one time. Well, I tell you, my friend, I don't have to worry this morning when I got up and I went to talk to the Lord and was talking to him about folks that were sick and all kinds of things. I didn't have to say, now y'all get back and quit crowding up with the Lord because I'm talking to him now. No, my friend, that's not true. The truth is when I prayed this morning that God heard me as I prayed in English. But as I prayed in English, he heard 50 million other people praying in English. And he heard people praying in Vietnamese and Chinese and Japanese. He heard all kinds of things. And God did not go running around heaven and say, God, what do they expect out of me anyway? Here I am with all this to do, and here's all these sick people, and here's all this virus, and here's all these things. What on earth am I going to do? Man, this ain't nothing but a mess. Now, the preacher might feel that way down here on earth, but you'll never overload Jesus. He said, don't bother him. Don't trouble the Master. And so finally, Jairus says to Jesus, she's already dead. That's the story you picked up. But the thing of it was, all of this had been going on beforehand. And he says, she's already dead. Jesus said, That's okay. I'm going to your house anyway. I'm still coming to your house. And so he does. He comes to the house. And the flute players are praying, the minstrel, who says so right here. And the people are wailing. The Jews had an awful time at a time of death and hollered and wailed and tore their clothes and beat their chest and did all those things. And all that was going on. When they got to the house of this ruler, man, it was on. There was a full-blown wake, as we call it in this our time. There was a full-blown wake going on. Sad music being played, sad songs being sung, sad faces and tears and all those things going on. And that poor little girl laying in there on that slab, dressed for her burial. And Jesus is standing there and he said, would you all just get out? Hey, did you ever want to say that? Did you ever want to say, would you all just get out? Would you all just get out so I don't have to listen to this? Well, he says it. says, would you all just get out? And he empties her house. Take your sad songs outside. Take your sad music outside. Take your jeering and jittering, because Jesus had upset them all because he said, she's asleep. And they said, you're crazy. She's been dead a long time. Don't you know we've had to get all this together and all this? She's been dead for hours. You're crazy. And Jesus is saying, just get out. Just keep James and John in here with me, Peter. Just keep the parents in here with me. And let's go in here and let's shut everything else out and let's pray. And Jesus takes them into the room and closes the door. And he says, little lamb. That's the direct translation of it. He said, little lamb, arise. And you know what? The little girl opened her eyes. And he took her by the hand and she sat up on the side of the bed. And she lived. And he said, don't you think she might be hungry? Fix her something to eat. Isn't Jesus a wonderful person? And they take her out and everybody sees it. Now, everybody knows this child's been dead. She's been dead for hours. She's been dead waiting for the message to get to her daddy and for Jesus to get by with him. So there's been a whole bunch of stuff going on. Everybody in this town knows that this little girl has been dead for hours. Listen, these are Jews. A little bit more, and you know where she would have been? In the cemetery. They do it the same day, in that time and in this time. Jews bury their dead in the same day that they die, if it's at all possible. So a few more minutes or hours, this little girl would have been buried before they ever got back with Jesus or anything. But Jesus, you know, Jairus has had to be awful itchy going along the road. He has to be weeping and crying. You say, well, why would he do that? He has faith. My friend, his little girl has died. What do you expect out of him? I expect him to be crying. I think I have three little girls. And I can't imagine any one of them being dead. I can't imagine being in a house with one of my children laying dead and the people wailing and crying. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to imagine that. That's painful. And yet they were going through this and all of that went on. And when Jesus got there, she was saved from death. The wonderful thing is the gospel went everywhere. And people heard it and people listened to it. And his fame went abroad throughout all that land. Wow. Hallelujah. If you want to invite somebody to your sick room, call on Jesus. If you want to invite somebody to the room where death is, people are weeping and crying, call on Jesus. You say, well, I don't know if he'd raise the dead or not. I know he is. Oh, my daughter died today. I'd like for him to raise her before sundown, of course. But my friend, I can tell you that Jesus is going to raise the dead. I can tell you that every soul that's saved and is gone to the earth, Jesus is going to raise the dead. One day, my friend, one glorious morning, my friend, he's going to look over at Gabriel. He's going to say, have you got your horn ready, Gabriel? Then blow it. And Gabriel's going to step upon the paramount of heaven, walk across the Milky Way, put his foot on the land and sea, raise the trumpet of God to his lips. And when he does, my friend, Jesus Christ's power is going to come and circumnavigate this globe. And my friend, every soul is going to live that ever died in him. And the redeemed of the Lord, hallelujah, bless God, are going to come from the graves. And my friend, Jesus is not going to be overwhelmed at it. You're not going to hurry about and say, well, he only had to raise one person from the dead here You're talking about raising all the dead. Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm talking about every person from Adam and Eve right up to the last little baby that's born, that's saved. My friend will be raised from the dead. Little boy that played ball with our Gail with us up here in the field, he's going to be raised one day. Aren't you glad? How many of you have the hope of somebody you love being raised again? Amen. My friend, Jesus is coming to your house, and he's coming with resurrection power. He's going to save you and your loved ones from eternal death with eternal life. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among men. Father, I come into your presence this morning, and I thank you for your blessings. Oh God, I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for the gospel truth. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Jesus stories that I read in this precious old Bible. Lord, I thank you for the Jesus stories that I read here that give me hope. And Lord, as I look at that little girl, raised and given back to her mother and father at 12 years old, Lord, I think about all the dead in Christ who will arise. And Lord, we're trusting in you. We're hoping in you. Our confidence is in you. Forgive us of our sins. Help us, O Father, to draw closer to you. And help us not to limit your spirit by wondering about bothering you. But Lord, we know that you're able to handle everything that goes on. In Jesus' holy name, amen.